Turn in your Bibles, Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. We're continuing, of course, our study of this great book. Of course, this was a letter written to Jewish believers. As we know, they had trusted in Christ. Apparently, the best we can tell from our study, when the persecution came, they turned away from God, went back under the Mosaic Law. And we said they failed to grow. They didn't trust God. They had not gone on to maturity. They were being disciplined, and they were losing rewards. So those were five things that we said that were powerful that we could see happening. Think about it. They did not grow. They did not trust God. They were not going on to maturity. They were being disciplined, and or discipline was about to come, and they were losing rewards. It's sad, but the goal of the author is to turn these believers back to God and to go on to maturity. That's what we saw in chapter 5 where he said, or the start of chapter 6 where he said, let's go on, let's press on to maturity. That's why in chapter 5 he said, you ought to be teachers by this time. Somebody needs to teach you again. So that's his plan. As we continue this evening, we are seeing a very unique man in the Old Testament. Some even say he's strange. And that's the man named Melchizedek, and he was the king priest of Salem. And we're going to see who this guy was, a little bit about him and how it sort of fits. We realize that the priesthood of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is after the order of Melchizedek, which is pretty amazing. What does that mean? Who is this man? How does it all fit? Well, tonight we're going to look at Melchizedek. We're going to see the priesthood of Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek, and we're going to see that that priesthood is superior to the priesthood of Aaron and Levi. We'll tie that back together. As we go through these verses, because we're going to look at chapter 7, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. As we go through that, especially starting about verse 4, he's going to give us five reasons, five areas why he says that the priesthood of Melchizedek is superior to Levi and Aaron. We'll see how that ties together. Now, it's important that you may say, what's the difference? Why? Who cares? Well, because Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, and the purpose that he's trying to show is that Jesus is superior to any aspect of the law. They don't need to go back to the law, these Jewish believers. He says, you don't need to go back to the law. Jesus is better. That's been the point of the book, and we'll see it all in just a minute as I've given you the handouts. I hope you got the handouts when you came in. The same three we had last time, so you're okay if you got them from last week. One has Hebrews at the top. It's sort of a green one. One has Melchizedek at the top. It's a different kind of green, and then the other one says comparison of priesthood. It's purple, and we'll talk about these three as we go through it tonight. Just touch on them. We want you to see them. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank you for the privilege we have of coming together with fellow believers to worship Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that that's the plan and the goal, that you've left us on this earth to be your instruments, to be ambassadors for you, that we get to gather together to worship you and to grow and to be equipped and trained, and then you scatter us out all over this world, all over this community and everywhere to take the great truth of Jesus Christ to people who do not know. Lord, we ask you that as we study the book of Hebrews, and it's amazing to see all the things that are in there, Lord, that we look at this man named Melchizedek and the priesthood of Christ and how it all ties together. And Lord, we just want to be able to understand it and be able to tell other people. That's a key, because we know people have questions about some of these things. Lord, we just ask you, would you teach us tonight as we look at Hebrews 7? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in John chapter 1, you remember there's a great statement. It says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What a contrast. Moses is known for the law, and Jesus is known for the grace. Have you ever thought about the contrast between the law and grace? There's law and there's grace. Under law, there's Moses. Under grace, there's Jesus Christ. Under law, there's this priesthood after Levi. Under grace, there's the priesthood that's, are you ready? Judah. Under law, there's Aaron and Levi, and under grace, there's this Melchizedek. And under law, there were sacrifices that covered sin. But under grace, there's the sacrifice that paid for sin. Under law, it was an earthly priesthood. And under grace, it's a heavenly priesthood. We'll see a little bit more later as we go through this. The author, of course, the point of this whole section is we need to understand that Jesus Christ and his priesthood is after this order of this man named Melchizedek. And it is superior to the priesthood after the order of Levi or Aaron. That's his point. And he's wanting these Jewish people who have put themselves back under law. He's saying, why would you go back under law if Jesus' priesthood is superior to the Levitical priesthood? Why would you do it? Now, if you remember this handout that I have for you, the green one that just says Hebrews at the top, if you remember that the book I've got at the top, the book of Hebrews shows at least 10 things. It says the letter of the Hebrews presents Christ as superior over all these areas. Prophets, angels, Moses, Joshua, Aaron, Levitical priesthood, sanctuary, covenant, tabernacle, sacrifices, law, all of that. He's trying to say, look, when you look at Jesus, you don't need law. And you know, I'm amazed. I was reading something today on a website. Somebody sent me something and said, look at this website. You'll love it. Well, I didn't love it at all. In fact, when I got there, one of the emphasis was Christians need to live by the law. No, we don't. We're not under the law of Moses. And it kept talking about the law and how they had to stick to the law. Well, no. And these Jewish believers, what have they done? They went right to the law of Moses to think that this is how you live. And it's not. And so we're going to look at some of this. This evening, we're continuing our study of Hebrews. We're seeing the focus is on the priesthood of Christ. Priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Well, who is this guy? How does it fit? Well, let's begin. We need to remember that the purpose of the book of Hebrews, as we said it a while ago, is to turn these Jewish believers back to God. And, you know, let's face it. There are people who read the book of Hebrews, and when it talks about how they've fallen away, or they've done this, or they've done this, or there's discipline coming, are they going to lose this? There are a lot of people that just assume right off that these people lost their salvation. That's because there are a lot of groups of people that believe you can lose your salvation. You can believe in Jesus, gives you eternal life, but then you could lose it somehow. There are other groups of people who believe that you can't lose your salvation, but you can say you believe in Jesus, but if you don't live right or do right, you never really had it. So there are groups of people that can look at these passages and say, these aren't real Christians. I believe they are. There's not any doubt. I believe that he calls them brothers. He says all of these things. He talks about rewards. He talks about they ought to be teachers. He talks about they ought to go into maturity. I don't think he would be telling unbelievers that. And so as we look at it, we're seeing these Jewish believers. He wants them to be turned back to God. How? He says, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is superior. And that's why on that handout at the top of the page, I just listed for you at least the 10 ways during the book. And if you notice, we're already up to about number 6, because we're in chapters 5-7, which talk about the Levitical priesthood. And we're going to see more as we go through it. And I'm hoping that as you go through the study of Hebrews with us on Wednesday night, that sometimes you read it. What I would do, you know, is you can read a couple of chapters today, and you just about get the whole book every week. And all of a sudden, it begins to flow together. And you start thinking about some of the stuff he's going to say and all of that. Now, there's another thing that I said. The key in this book is he wants to show the priesthood of Jesus Christ is superior to Levi. If you notice at the bottom of the page there, close to the bottom page, I have at very at the bottom, it says Christ's priesthood is superior because, and he begins to list some things. I'm going to give you some tonight. In fact, even this section tonight gives us 5 reasons. So there's a lot of things to think about as we go through the passage tonight. Very clearly, we see the Levitical priesthood under the law, Moses, Jesus' priesthood, Melchizedek, and deals with grace. It's that simple. Let me break down a study for you. We started last week and we actually got to chapter 7 and we only looked at the first 2 verses in any kind of detail, and then we read verse 3 and said we'll get it next week. What we're doing tonight is we're going to look at chapter 7 verses 1 through 10. Verses 1, 2, and 3 give us a description of this man named Melchizedek. We'll go back over it again. We talked about it last week. We'll get more details. I want you to see who this guy is. There's a lot of confusion. You can pick up commentaries and there are people who will say Melchizedek was an angel. There are people who say that Melchizedek was Jesus Christ before he became a person. I think the Bible plainly says he was a man, and we'll talk about that later on. But anyway, we're going to see the description of him. Then in verses 4 through 10, we see the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and what he does is he gives us 5 reasons in these verses. Now, there are a lot more than 5 because I've given them to you on that purple sheet, and we'll look at it a little bit later. Think about this. Jesus Christ's priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is superior to Levi. Therefore, Jesus Christ is superior to Levi. That's his thinking, and that's what he's going to say. And it might take us several weeks to see it in its entirety, but that's what we're going to see. Let's get a review. Let's think about priesthood for just a second. You know, last week I went through a whole thing on priesthood and how it all fit. But think about this. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, God gave them a law system. And when he got the law system, he decided that under this law system, he would choose one of the tribes to be the priestly tribe. And that was the tribe of Levi. Levi was chosen. And in the tribe of Levi, there was a family of Aaron. There was also Moses, who was Aaron's brother, and there was Miriam. But of that family, God said, okay, now Aaron, you're going to be the first high priest. In fact, all of the priests are going to come through Aaron. Now, all of the other tribe, all the people who are tribe descendants of Levi, you're going to be called the Levites, and you're going to have to do the work of the tabernacle and all that. But only Aaron and his descendants will be the priest. So only the family of Aaron and his descendants were actually the priest. All the rest of the tribe of Levi were just called Levites, and they just helped. Now, under this sacrificial system, I want you to think about it. Two things. Number one, there were sacrifices. What did the sacrifices do in the Old Testament system? What did they do dealing with sin? That's right. And they did what? What does atonement mean? Because a lot of people don't know that. They covered it. That's right. They covered sin. Also, under the Old Testament system, under the Levitical priesthood, with Aaron being the head being passed down, did man have access directly to God? No. In fact, to actually show that man didn't have access to God, God put a veil between the front room of the holy place and the Holy of Holies. He put a veil in between those two rooms, showing there is no access, direct access of anybody to God. That was under the Levitical system. Now, then in the grace of God, God chose His Son, Jesus Christ, and said, "My Son, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," not Levi. And under this system, the sacrifices did not cover sin, but paid for sin. There's only one, by the way. And is there now direct access to God? Answer is yes. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace because our forerunner has already gone before us. So there's a huge change between a Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That's why if you're Jewish and the writer says, why would you go over here where there's a covering for sin and no access to God, and over here where there's a payment for sin and direct access to God? That's his point, and we'll see it as we go through this. Now, let's take a look at I do have the purple handout. We won't go over it now, but it gives you a number of differences between the heavenly priesthood and the earthly priesthood, Jesus Christ and Levi, and we'll see that some other time. And you can look at it anytime you want to, except when I'm going over this. Anyway, no, but you can look at it. But let's look at Melchizedek. Let's talk about who this guy is for a minute, okay? Here's the description, chapter 7, verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who made Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Now it says, this Melchizedek. We already know that the name Melchizedek, I've given you that green handout, kind of the funny looking green handout that's got Melchizedek at the top. It says that name actually means king of righteousness. We'll go more detail on it in a minute. But it refers, when he starts off by saying, "For this Melchizedek," it's going back to chapter 6, verse 20, when he ends the chapter by saying, Jesus is a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, the only other mention that's ever been at all for these people's minds of Melchizedek in this letter was back in chapter 5 when he says, "I'd like to tell you about Melchizedek, but you're not ready." Any Jewish person who knew the scripture, Jewish believer, would say, well, the only other thing that we've ever heard of Melchizedek was Genesis chapter 14, verses 13 through 20, actually verses 18, 19, and 20, where this man's mentioned. The only other mention is Psalm 110, verse 4. All the rest of the Bible is no mention of this man in any way, shape, or form. When this man met Abraham, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about him, doesn't tell him who his mom and daddy was, doesn't tell anybody of his kids, it doesn't tell how long he lived, it doesn't tell how he got his priesthood, doesn't tell whatever happened to him. All it tells us is he met Abraham and did something. Some would say, I wonder why the Bible doesn't give us any information about Melchizedek. There's a reason. God did it on purpose so it would fit Jesus Christ, and I'll show you how in just a minute. Look what it says. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Now, notice something that's pretty incredible. First of all, it starts off by calling him king of Salem. We know Salem was where? What city? Jerusalem, same place. Salem means peace. Jerusalem means Jehovah's peace. And that it comes from basically the Hebrew of Shalom, which is that idea. Now, notice the statement about him. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God." Now, who's the Most High God? The God of Abraham. How does this guy know about the God of Abraham? Well, if you remember, Adam and Eve knew about the God, and so did Noah. Abraham wasn't the only person on the world that knew that there was a true God. God came to Abraham and chose him and set him apart and set the people that followed Abraham apart as the Jewish people. But we find a guy living in Salem, Jerusalem, who is a believer in the true God. And not only is he a believer, he's a priest. of the Most High God. And it says he was priest of the Most High God. That's incredible. Now, what did he do? It says he met Abraham when he was as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, we won't turn back to Genesis 14 because we looked at it last week. If you want to get it, study is Genesis 14, verses 13 through 20. Abraham's nephew Lot was taken off by these kings. War came in. They came in. They just took Lot right out of Sodom and Gomorrah and took him off. Abraham found out about it. He got 318 of his trained soldiers. He tracked them down, defeated them, saved Lot's life, saved all these people's lives, and took all their possessions. And when he came back, Abraham's rich, really. He's got all this stuff. As he goes by Salem, this man comes out of nowhere named Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Melech means king. Zedek means righteousness. He comes out of Jerusalem or Salem, goes to Abraham, and blesses Abraham, which means the guy doing the blessing is better than the guy's getting the blessing. So the Bible's telling us in Genesis 14 that Abraham, that Melchizedek, in a sense, is more powerful, more famous, higher up, you might say, than Abraham. And then on top of that, and he met Abraham carrying what? What did he bring out to Abraham? Do you remember? Bread and wine. That's a foreshadow of the Lord's Supper. And then after he blessed Abraham, Abraham said, man, this guy is some kind of guy. So let's take a tenth of all the spoils from the battle and let's give them to this man named Melchizedek. And that's the rest of it. That's all you see. We don't know where this man came from. We don't know where he went after that. Now, we know he was from Salem, but we don't know how did he get to Salem. How did he know about the Most High God? Who his mother and daddy was? How was he a priest of the Most High God? How did he become a priest? What did he do with the 10% of all the spoil? What happened to him? We don't know one thing about him. He appears suddenly on the pages of Scripture and disappears off. And that's it. Now, there's a reason for that. We'll see it in a minute. But notice it says he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. He blessed Abraham. Notice, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils. He said, now Abraham from this battle decided he would give him a tenth. Now, if Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek and then gave a tenth to Melchizedek, who was superior, Abraham or Melchizedek? Melchizedek was. Now, we would look at that and go, you're telling me that this guy that's got three verses in the Old Testament is superior to Abraham, the man chosen by God to be the, you know, and all the promises and all the nations of the world be just through him and the Messiah is going to come through him. All of this, Abraham's the great man of all time, the man of faith, the pattern for everything we've been seeing on Sunday morning, and you're telling me Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. What's the answer? Yes. You'd say, I don't get it. I don't either. There's a reason. Why did he just appear and disappear? Notice what it says. It gives us a little information. It says, first of all, by the translation of his name is King of Righteousness. And also he's the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. Now he says, let me make sure you got who this guy is. His name means King of Righteousness. He was the King of Salem. He's the King of Peace. Now I want you to realize that he is a type of Jesus Christ. Now a type is something that happens in the Old Testament that is a foreshadow of something about Jesus that's going to happen in the future. One of the great events is the Passover lamb that was killed in Egypt, shed the blood, put it on the door, Passover, and delivered from bondage. The Passover lamb is a type of Christ because Jesus called himself the Lamb of God, and he was the lamb led to the slaughter, and he was our Passover lamb, and he died to deliver us from the bondage of sin. So the Passover lamb in the Old Testament was a type or a foreshadow of Christ. We're going to find that Melchizedek was a type and a foreshadow of Christ. Melchizedek was King of Righteousness, King of Peace. He was from Salem. He was a king and priest of the Most High God. Jesus Christ is righteous. He's the Prince of Peace. He's from Jerusalem. He's a king and he's a priest. It's just a foreshadow. What did Melchizedek bring out there? Bread and wine. What did Jesus on the last night before his death on the cross give to his men? Basically, the bread and the wine. The Passover. It all ties together. He's just a foreshadow. That's who he is. He's going to give us some more information. Now, if you read verse 3 without reading the very end of verse 3, you'll get messed up. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now, with the key here, he's not talking about him as a person. He's talking about his priesthood. When he says without mother, without father, let me ask you this. Do we know his mother or father? No, we don't have a clue. We don't know. We don't have it. What about his genealogy? No. How about beginning of days or end of life? And we're not talking necessarily of when he was born and when he died. We're talking about how did he get his priesthood? Because, see, the Levitical priesthood was passed down. There was a beginning to a guy getting the priesthood. When you became 30 years old, you were given the priesthood from your father, passed down. You served until you were 50 years old, and then that priesthood aspect was passed on. It had a beginning and an end. They're saying, Melchizedek, we don't know when it began. We don't know when it ended. In fact, it had no beginning, had no ending. Now, why did he say it that way? Because Jesus Christ's priesthood had no beginning and no ending. Jesus is a priest who lives forever to make intercession. He's just showing that Melchizedek, because we don't know anything about him, fits Jesus Christ. So he said, without father, without mother, we don't know who they are. Without genealogy, we don't know where his background was. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, his priesthood, he was made what? He was made like the Son of God. He's not the Son of God. He was made like the Son of God. He remains a priest perpetually. His priesthood goes on because we never have any record of it ever ending. We never have a record of it starting. We don't have a record of his mother, his father. We don't have a record of his genealogy. All we know is he was a king priest of Jerusalem, basically. That's the picture of Christ. That's why he's a foreshadow. That's all he is. And the writer of the Hebrews is trying to prove that you go back to this guy, and the reason God put this guy in Scripture was he is a type of Christ, and he matches Christ, and this priesthood is better than the Levitical priesthood. So Jesus' priesthood is better than the Levitical priesthood. That's all he's trying to do. And it's kind of hard because people get tied up on this thing. Nobody knew his background, his mother, his father, his priesthood, or any other thing about it, but he's made like the Son of God. Jesus Christ's priesthood was not passed down. You know what? Jesus never stops being a priest. So it wasn't, it was different than Levitical priesthood. Now, he was the king. This man, Melchizedek, was a king priest from Salem. Priesthood not received or passed down, special, unending. He was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. Now, from that description of this man, and I'll open it up for questions in a minute if you just dying to ask him about this guy, we're going to now see he's going to make a point. He said, okay, I've told you who Melchizedek is. Now I'm going to show you that Melchizedek is greater than Levi. And if Melchizedek is greater than Levi, then Jesus' priesthood of Melchizedek is greater than the Levitical priesthood. So therefore, you guys don't need the law. You need Jesus at this point. Watch, five ways. Look at verse 4. Now, let's observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. Now, he says, let's look at this man. Let's talk about how great this man was. Now, notice who he's saying. He's saying, who's great here? Melchizedek. The point that he's greater than Abraham or Levi, and his priesthood is better. So, to whom? Now, here's the first of the five things. To whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. The very first thing that he's saying is Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Abraham saw Melchizedek as greater than him, and he's the one that said, hey, let's give this 10, give it to him. He's special. He goes on to explain. Now, those indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people. That is, from their brethren, although they're all descendants from Abraham. And he goes on to explain. He says, you realize that all of the sons of Levi who get the priest office have commandment in the Bible that they get to collect a tenth from the people. You realize that how did the Levites and the priest make a living? They worked all the time at the tabernacle, right? How are they going to make a living? They couldn't. They didn't have any land. They had 48 cities scattered out that they lived in those cities when they weren't in the tabernacle or the temple area. But they didn't have land. They didn't get any portion of land. The tribe of Levi didn't get any. How are they going to make a living? Everybody collects a tenth and they bring it up and they say, this is for you guys. There were three tithes in the Old Testament system. If you know, we're not under a tithe system. We never have been. There was a tithe system in the Old Testament, but not a 10% tithe. There were three 10% tithes that the Jewish people were responsible to give. Every year they gave 10% for the priest, another 10% for the tabernacle, and then every third year they gave another 10% that went also to the priest and to the widows and orphans. Every year they gave 20%. Every 3 years they gave 30%. That's not counting free will giving, free will offerings. These were required giving. So for the priest, the way that they made their living is the people would give a tenth every year of all their increase, their crops and everything, and that went to the Levites and to the priest. And that's why he says right here, it is indeed of the sons of Levi who received the priest office. They have a commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people. That is from their brethren. They get a tenth from everybody else, although these are all descendants from Abraham. Even though they're all descendants of Abraham, they're the ones that get the tenth. Okay? Now watch. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them. Now who is the one whose genealogy is not traced from the tribe of Levi? It's Melchizedek. He collected a tenth from Abraham. That this is number two. The first one is Abraham paid a tenth to Melchizedek. The second principle is Melchizedek received and took the tenth from Abraham. He collected it. Now, let me ask you something. If you were of the tribe, let me just make this up, but if you were the tribe of Manasseh, could you collect a tenth from the people? No. The only people that collect a tenth from the people is who? Tribe of Levi and the priest. He's saying here that this man, Melchizedek, wasn't of that any of those tribes, but he collected a tenth from Abraham. Remember, Abraham's the big guy. He got a tenth from Abraham. There's a third thing that he's going to say right here. Notice the end of the verse. And bless the one who had the promise. He blessed Abraham. You know, it's amazing. The one that does the blessing is the superior one. Is that right? Yes or no? Do you remember when Jacob was taken down to Egypt after Joseph had been there and they, you know, they saw that they were going to make it and they said, go back and get your father. And they sent everybody back and Jacob couldn't believe that his son was still alive. And then they got down to Egypt. And when they got there, they said, now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go talk to the Pharaoh. And then Joseph was trying to tell his brothers how to act in front of the Pharaoh. Do you remember what Jacob did when he saw the Pharaoh? Jacob walked right up to the Pharaoh and blessed the Pharaoh. Who's top dog there? Jacob thinks he's top dog. See, because he's doing the blessing on the Pharaoh. When Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Melchizedek is saying, I'm top dog. The writer of the Hebrews is saying Melchizedek is top. First of all, Abraham gave him a tenth. Second is, he received the tenth. Third, he blessed Abraham. There's a fourth one. We'll see it. Well, let me give you this verse, because verse 7 explains, it says, without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. There's no doubt. Whoever does the blessing, that's the big one. Now, in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them of whom is witness that he lives on. Now, there's two groups he's talking about, Levi and Melchizedek. In the case of mortal men, that's the tribe, that's Levites and the priest. They receive tithes, but they're mortal. That means what happens to them? They die. But in the case of one who receives them, this one, that's Melchizedek, it is witnesses that he lives on. Now, he's not saying Melchizedek never died. He's saying we don't have an ending to Melchizedek's priesthood. We did of the Levitical priesthood, but not Melchizedek. At this point, I know we'd say, well, why didn't he just say that? Well, because he's trying to show this point that we don't know anything about Melchizedek, and he just keeps on existing, is the way he says it. Now, we've got the fact that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. Melchizedek took the tenth. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Melchizedek's priesthood is an unending priesthood. And there's one more thing, and it's found in verses 9 and 10. And it says, and so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. The last thing is, Levi actually gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Now, tell me how that's possible. because Abraham was alive, and then Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and one of those was Levi. How is it possible that Levi paid a tithe to Melchizedek? Because that's what he just said. Exactly. The next verse explains it. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. This passage is saying that Abraham, inside Abraham, was the son of his son Isaac and his son Jacob and his son Levi. And when he gave the tenth, it was the same as Levi, who was yet to be born, inside his loins, he gave a tenth as well. So what's his point? If Levi gave a tenth to Melchizedek, whose priesthood is superior? Melchizedek. And if Melchizedek's priesthood is superior, and if Jesus is the priest after the order of Melchizedek, who's superior, Jesus or the law? It's Jesus. That's his point. It's pretty powerful. Now, I may not explain this very well because it's a hard passage, but that's the thing. He said, here's five things. Abraham gave a tenth. Melchizedek took a tenth. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the blesser is always greater than the blessee. Levi's priesthood ends while Melchizedek's priesthood kept on going. And Levi, when he was inside of Abraham, gave a tenth to Melchizedek. So, conclusion. The priesthood of Melchizedek is superior to Levi. Thus, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek, is superior to the Levitical priesthood. Therefore, these Jewish people do not need to go back to the law when they have Jesus, who is the superior one. In this case, priesthood. That's why I gave you this handout, which we'll see more and more as you go through the study of the book of Hebrews. We're going to get more and more of this comparing the priesthood, because almost the rest of the book, at least on up to before we get to chapter 11, is going to be talking about priesthood, sacrifices, and all of that. And it's some powerful stuff, and we'll see it as we go through it. Let me give you a couple of applications. Let me say what we've seen is the description of Melchizedek, the king priest from Salem, who is righteousness and peace and an unending priesthood. We've seen that Melchizedek's priesthood is superior because Abraham gave, and Melchizedek received, and Melchizedek blessed, and Melchizedek has an unending, and Levi gave to Melchizedek. So let me give you two applications. Here's the first one. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. That doesn't mean he wasn't a real person. He was a real person who lived. He was a man who lived in Jerusalem, Salem. He was a king and a priest. He was the king of the city. He was the priest of the Most High God. He knew God and he knew Abraham. And when he came out, he was superior and he blessed. He had a unique priesthood. And God took that picture of this man, planned it all, and used it as a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is the king priest as the foreshadow. He points the way to Jesus Christ as the king priest, Jerusalem, righteousness, peace, and an unending priesthood. That's the same as Jesus. So he's a type of Christ. If you want more information, we're going to be going more and more over this because we're not through. We got the whole rest of chapter 7 that talks about Melchizedek. We'll get into the whole covenant thing and the Old Testament. There's a whole bunch of things to go as you go through the book of Hebrews. So hopefully it'll pass for you, be able to get it. The second application is, it's a long one. We come to God through our great high priest, as Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek, not Levi. We come to God through Jesus. You can't come to God through the Levitical priesthood. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people did not come to God through the Levitical priesthood. They didn't come to God by law. How did they come to God? By what? By faith. Same thing. It's always the same thing. So we come to God through our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek. The Levitical priesthood covered sin. It was temporary. The way was not open to God. Jesus Christ's priesthood paid for sin and opened the way to God. It's powerful. May we come to God by our great high priest, the one who paid for our sin, and open the way to God. Let me pray, and then we'll open up for questions, because you may have some on this. Heavenly Father, as we think about this passage, thank you so much for realizing, first of all, that we see that this Melchizedek man was really a type of Christ. He was a person who lived, but he was a foreshadow of Jesus' priesthood and an unending priesthood, and the one that was the king king and the priest and the righteousness and the peace and the unending and all of that. We thank you, Lord, for that picture that you give us in the Bible. Lord, we also realize there's only one way to you, and that is through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through you. We realize that he is our great high priest who has died, paid the penalty for our sins, and has opened the way that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. So, Lord, thank you for all of that. May we never forget it. May we understand it. And Lord, I hope that whatever questions, whatever we have from Hebrews 7, that we can see it, we can see who Melchizedek was and how it fits. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.